I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Well, the two couples are as typical a pair of high school lovers as you'd expect to find anywhere. Bobby and Christina have been together just a few weeks, Jennifer and Carlos a lot longer, and they're all thinking about sex. That's the basic story behind the film Toothpaste. It was written by a handful of students at Mission High School in Texas. It's attracted a lot of attention because in one scene, the girls go to a pharmacy to buy condoms. Now, that's controversial in Texas, where abstinence is the keystone of teen sex education. This hour, we'll talk with two of the students in Mission who wrote the script for that film, and with a young man from Hudson, Ohio, who promotes abstinence in his own and in neighboring schools. But we also want to hear from you, and particularly if you're a student, and trying to make sense of all this. I mean, is abstinence or was abstinence taught at your school? Is it taught along with other methods of birth control? Does it make sense to tell kids today that the only real choice is to abstain from sex altogether? Or do they need more information? Do they also need to know about condoms, for example? And should all that be happening in school? Now, you'll note that we don't have experts or analysts or statisticians with us on this program. We want to hear from the students who are facing these choices. And, of course, that means you. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we're joined now by two of the young women who wrote the film Toothpaste. They are both 19, now in college. Amanda Ramirez and Laura Coria are joining us, both on the line from Mission, Texas. Amanda, it's nice of you to join us.
Thank you.
And Laura, you as well. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Can you, Laura, tell me just a little bit about Mission? Is it a large city, small town? Where is it in Texas, that sort of thing?
It's close to the border to Mexico. It's a relatively small city, but it keeps growing by the minute.
And Amanda, is it a wealthy town, poor town, middle class? How would we fix it that way?
I'd say it's a middle class, lower class. It's in between there.
And the mix of people, a lot of Latino people in Mission?
Mostly Latino, yes.
And this is a town, Laura, where you grew up, where you went to high school, right?
Yes, I did. Actually, I know Amanda since junior high, so we kind of grew up.
And so did the two of you notice that there was a lot of teen pregnancy happening in Mission? Is that where your interest in this began?
Yes, there were a lot of pregnant teenagers in our school. I mean, from all grade levels. There were freshmen, sophomores, pregnant already. Some of them on their second child, I mean.
And yeah, actually, I even had some friends from junior high already being mothers.
And friends of yours as well, Laura?
Yes.
How about you, Amanda?
I had one, but that's about it.
The reason I ask if you're close to any of these girls who got pregnant is I'm wondering if there's any simple explanation as to why there is such a high rate of teenage pregnancy in Mission. Is it that people don't have access to birth control or don't know about it? What would you say?
I'd say that it's a lack of knowledge and communication, only because communication with parents and teachers is not really... Like, students don't get the knowledge that they should be getting in the classroom or at home. They get information from their friends, and their friends are going to talk about their experiences, and students really don't learn from that, teenagers.
And we think it's more important for them to get the information and for them to have the knowledge of the options from adults than instead of their friends, because, I mean, what kind of information can friends be giving them? Not the very best.
And so that's, Laura, what got you onto this project, the film Toothpaste, is that right?
Yes, mainly our part, yes.
It didn't start out as a film, did it?
No, well, it started as an assignment, but the intention of our teacher was of writing a script because she found out of the Scenarios USA contest. So, but first of all, we did it as an assignment. We didn't think, oh, we're going to win this contest. So, I mean, we turned it in, and then we found out that we were winners, so.
And Amanda... What was the one thing that you wanted to get across with the script that you wrote?
Well, I really wanted teenagers to get a feel of what's going. I mean, to get a feel of what's going on now. I wanted them to be able to make healthy decisions and not be pressured into anything. I mean, I wanted them to have all the information they needed.
All right. So we've got Jennifer and Carlos. We got Bobby and Christina. In a nutshell, you two, what happens in the film?
I guess Carlos and Jennifer are the couple that has a longer time together. They have more trust, they have more communication, and I guess it's a stronger relation. I guess it's kind of like what should be in a relationship. There's trust, communication. And Christina and Bobby are the couple who don't have that communication and kind of rushing into things. They have a very short time together.
And let's just listen to, if we can, one scene from this film. This is English class, and we start with the teacher, but we're going to hear Christina and Jennifer.
Okay, so today we've learned about the epic and the epic hero. And Beowulf is our hero, who has so nobly and courageously
Remember what we were talking about last week?
To save the people.
Yeah, what
we
about
have
it?
Many
I think I'm
going to
go for it.
And your assignment
really?
Tonight is to write a one-page paper.
You're going to do it.
Comparing.
Yeah. Is he pressuring you?
No, Jennifer and Christina. Is this okay, or do I need to speak a little softer?
Sorry.
And Amanda, you leave a lot of questions at the end of the film. You don't actually tie up all the loose ends.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't exactly want a black and white film, I don't know, as you would call it. We basically wanted teenagers to have their own opinion about it. I mean, we didn't want to have the typical, you know, girl has sex with boyfriend, she gets pregnant, and so people can pretty much make up their own mind about this kind of situation.
And Laura, as I said at the beginning, there is a scene here where the girls go to a pharmacy and they buy condoms. Is that where the school board got involved? Is that where some of the grown-ups started to raise questions over that?
I would say so. That scene, and probably, they weren't specific about which scenes, but probably the scene where there is Jennifer and Carlos in the room with a condom in the hand, plus the scene where, well, since we had an ambiguous ending with the girls holding the pregnancy test, I think that was very controversial.
And what did the school board say, Laura?
They were just the school board was very supporting. For the most part, there was a lot of people that were very supportive with our film. They think it was very realistic. And
I think we got somebody on an extension there. Maybe you guys can deal with that. Laura, Amanda, which one of you has got a phone line that's clean there?
Mine's clean.
Sorry, he's out.
Okay. Tell him hi from us, though, will you? I'm interested just in what it was like to go before the school board. Was that kind of an intimidating thing for you, too?
I think it's an intense moment, Amanda, for all of us that were there, because it was the first time we had to be in a situation like this, and we had a board meeting and screening, and there was a couple of community members that were, I guess, talking against our movie. So, yeah, it was pretty intense.
What do you remember of it, Amanda?
I remember, actually, the people that were against, or not against, they were vocal about their opinions,
mm-hmm.
I'd say. I felt like I just wanted to get them to know what we were thinking. I wanted them to hear our side of it and why we felt that that was an important thing to write about, why we felt that it was important for teenagers to know the information. And in the end, I honestly don't think that they understood, because they left early from the school board meeting.
But the end of the story is that, Laura, that they allowed you to have the film screened, even though abstinence is the policy at Mission High School. They agreed to have this film screened, right?
Yeah, their reason was, at the end of the board meeting, they're like, they agreed, the students to view this film, but at the end, their last comment was like, but only as a tool of abstinence. So I guess at the end, they're just going to be like, well, you see, guys, abstinence is the key.
I'm wondering if all the attention that the film has received has got, in your view, Amanda or Laura, got people talking about what the choices are. Do you think that the whole thing was a positive experience when you look back on last year?
I honestly do feel that it was a positive experience. We had a high school screening after we graduated when the film came out, and as students were walking out, we would ask them, what do you feel? How do you feel that the film and everything in it was portrayed? And everyone pretty much said that that's the way it was right now, that it was great.
Laura?
Likewise.
that it's better to have some of these things spoken about. I mean, I'm asking you the question specifically because you know that there are a lot of school boards that say, you know, we don't really get into other kinds of birth control. We don't want to talk about condoms. If we make it abstinence and abstinence only, then that's the best place to be. What do you say to that?
I'm not against abstinence at all. We're not against abstinence at all. I mean, we think it's the most effective way. It's the only sure way, you know, of preventing STDs and pregnancies.
Right.
But what about those who don't have sex? That's what we want, you know. Some people are strong enough to have to be abstinent, but, I mean, what about the people that aren't? So I guess we're looking at the consequences of unprotected sex, and we want to, you know, show students, I mean, it's happening. It's not just them going through this. There's, like, a lot of other students going through this, and I guess our film deals with consequences in some way.
All right, Connection listeners, Laura Correa and Amanda Ramirez are with us from Mission, Texas. They are among the high school students there. They're both in college now, but when they were in high school, they took part in the drafting of the script for the film Toothpaste, which talks in pretty frank terms about the choice of condoms, which high school students can look at. It doesn't shy away from abstinence, but it doesn't go abstinence only. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk with Sean Keogh, who comes from a school where that is, in fact, the policy. He says he supports that. We'd like to hear your thoughts on this as well. Is there any one sex ed policy that really works in high school? Should it be adapted for different classes, different ages, different parts of the country? What do you think? 1-800-423-8255 is the number to join our conversation this hour on abstinence. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. This hour, a conversation about abstinence as it is taught in schools. Was that what you were taught where you went to school? Was it a part of a larger program with other issues of birth control included? And what do you make of that as a way of helping guide teens through some of the difficult choices that they have to make about sex when they're in high school? 1-800-423-TALK. And a particular invitation today to high school students or college students who have some experience with these programs to call up and exchange your point of view. I'd like to go to Hudson, Ohio actually it's Kent, Ohio. Sean Keogh is from Hudson. He's joining us from an NPR studio in Kent. Sean, it's good of you to be with us as well.
Hi, Mr. Gordon. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me a bit about yourself? You've just finished at high school, is that right?
Oh yeah, I just graduated last month and I went to a private high school where abstinence was advocated, and I was actually responsible for teaching abstinence there at that school, at my school, and also at area schools around the area.
And when you go back, Sean, when was the first time that you remember hearing somebody talk about abstinence? I mean, can you remember how you got involved in the program in the first place?
Oh, yeah. I first got involved my sophomore year when the program came to my health class. I just thought that it was like it had a really good message, and it was something that I wanted to get involved with.
Was there somebody who was explaining at that time who made it work, or did they have a you know, case studies that they were talking about that persuaded you it was the way to go?
Well, it's a big part of my faith too. It's basically the reason that I chose abstinence, and I saw it work. I saw it in other kids' lives, and I saw it as something that I wanted to do with my life.
And what about the teen pregnancy at your high school? Were there issues with that as well, or no?
Well, since the onset of the CADS program, since the onset of the abstinence program, there hasn't been any teen pregnancies in over 7 years.
And do you think that it's all about abstinence?
Oh, I think so. And as I see it, there's basically a few foundations that are key to an abstinence program that works. And the first one is a good foundation. And with the foundation of faith that we have, it's really easy for us to go up there and stand up for our faith. Now, the second is for facts and figures that are right and honestly. We go up there and we're honest with the kids, and they see that we're not hiding anything. And it strikes a chord with them, you know, the abstinence. And they see how it works, and it strikes a chord with them. And the third thing is really kids and people, for that matter, who truly believe in the message of abstinence. And that's one thing that we offer. And people are eating it up. It's something that they want to hear.
I'm wondering if I can ask you to define abstinence for me. Does it simply mean no sexual intercourse? Does it mean that, you know, necking and petting and kissing and whatever you do with your hands, even oral sex, all that stuff is permitted, but no intercourse? Is that how it's defined?
No, that's not, no. We like to define it a little more conservatively. We like to define it as anything that turns you on before marriage is not right, or we like to stay away from that.
So I still don't get where you draw the line. I mean, holding hands, kissing, hugging, that kind of stuff. It's forbidden under the abstinence only program.
Well, Mr. Gordon, we like to draw the line at kissing, because anything after that, it can get out of control, and it's something that just gets out of your control, and we like to keep it in the control. We like to set the boundaries. That's the big thing that we like to do in our abstinence program: set the boundaries.
And Sean, you heard the point that Laura and Amanda were making just before the break about their own, you know, kind of support for abstinence as the only sure method of birth control. But the point I think that Laura made just at the tail end was that, and then you need to have that amount of information for kids who are not a part of abstinence, that they need to know about condoms, that they need to know about sexually transmitted diseases. What happens in a program that is abstinence only that doesn't include that extra information?
Well, in my experience, these kids are eager to eat up the abstinence program. I mean, they've heard everything before, but when we give it to them fresh, when we give them reasons for it, we show them why even though condoms make sex less dangerous, they're not 100% safe. And we show them what happens if you aren't completely 100% abstinent.
But have they heard it all before? I mean, that what Amanda and Laura were saying is that according to them, one of the reasons why there are teen pregnancy problems in Mission is that the kids are uninformed.
Mm-hmm. Well, we come in there and we give them all the stats. We give them the stats, but then we give them experiential accounts. We give them why we have chosen to stay abstinent. And when other kids see other kids staying abstinent, they're like, hey, that looks like a good idea. I like what they're doing. I like what's going on in their life right now. I want some of that, you know? And when we're able to do that, it basically gives them the missing part, what they haven't been getting in their childhood. You know, like parents have told them one thing, their kids have told them another thing. We go in and show them that it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to have sex outside of marriage. Mm-hmm. There's another choice. When we show them that it's the better choice, they eat it up. And we've had a really good response with this.
Connection listeners, your thoughts on this? We're at 1-800-423-TALK, 1-800-423-8255. Taking a call from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and Travis is joining us. Hi, Travis.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks for calling.
Well, first I'd like to raise 2 points. The first one is that, you know, I feel that abstinence is a personal choice made by a person, and it's not based on what they're taught in the classroom or those who do it for their own reasons.
It should not be taught in school then, Travis?
No, I don't think it should be taught in school. And another reason why I feel that it shouldn't be taught in school is that it sort of has kids shamed. You know, if you are in an abstinence-only environment, those kids who, for natural biological reasons, decide to have intercourse, they feel like they're shamed for doing so, and they feel like there's no outlet for them to go to get help or anything about, or to, you know, learn ways to have safe sex and that kind of thing. And I feel that kind of has this environment of, you know, if you're having sex, you're like, you know, below society, or that you're like this outcast. And I don't think it's really healthy for you know, young adults.
What do you say to that, Sean?
Well, to this, Travis is your name, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, thanks for calling in. And in our CADS program, we try not to ostracize anyone who's had sex. And we have this program where, and we don't look down on anyone for having sex, but we tell them that there's this thing called second virginity. And even if you've already had physical sex, if you've already given up your virginity, you can retake your virginity in what's called second virginity. And it's a really, really powerful idea. And by doing this, you may not be able to regain your physical virginity, but spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, you can regain your virginity again. And people have really, really grabbed on to this idea.
Well, don't you think this is more of a personal decision that's made personally by individuals based on their own situations? Like, I know that it may work in a small environment, like at a private school, but what about in a larger public school environment where you have, you know, hundreds or even thousands of kids in a school setting who, you know, I personally feel that people that I know who have chosen abstinence, they feel that they do it for specific reasons and for specific things, and they have already made up their mind. It wasn't taught to them by a teacher or by a group. It was, you know, what their own personal decision and what they decided to make.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's their own personal decision. We kind of educate them in that why they should choose abstinence. We show them what's out there, and we show them what we have, and we show them the possibilities that come with that. And I want to emphasize the fact that I just don't speak at my private school. We go to as many as 50 public schools, and this isn't forced on anyone. We're not, because we know that if we go in there and we tell someone how to live their life, they're not going to listen. You know, we just show them what we've done in our life, and we give them more ideas.
Amanda and Laura, Travis raised the point about the large public schools where he says there's perhaps a greater diversity of perspectives and then maybe a greater need for different perspectives. But you've had a chance to listen to the way Sean explains the abstinence-only program that he's been involved with at his high school. What would happen if Sean sat before a junior or senior class at Mission High School and made the case like that? Can you place yourselves back in those desks and tell me how it would work?
Well, first off, I love the way that they go about it in that abstinence program. Like, I would love to have something like that in Mission. But in our public school, like, there's a limit to the information that teenagers are being given. And for someone to go and talk to a humongous group of students, and I mean, it's great giving them, like, information like that. The thing is that in Mission, the information that you might give, because you say you talk about abstinence, and you also give them the information they need. In Mission, you can't talk about that all the time. I mean, you say you're conservative, but yet, I mean, you're still able to talk to students about, you know, how your life is going, you know, by being abstinent. But in Mission, there's no information that can be given. I mean, you can't go to a student and talk to them about, I mean, you can talk to them about the statistics, but you can't say, you know, use a condom or whatever. No information, because there's a limit to that.
I think Sean's idea is a little too utopian, in which, you know, you talk about this and, oh, they're going to listen. I mean, how many talks have there been about having drugs? I mean, another topic, but, I mean, kind of the same thing. They give you a talk about not doing drugs. How many students still do drugs? And I just, talking about his a little funny analogy about eating, the kids eating up everything, I think it's kind of like a decision. I like to use this as a decision on being on a diet. I mean, if there's the only option of eating this and you'll be fine, you'll lose weight, it won't work for everybody. I think the best thing to do is open up other options, to have several options that can be suitable for each individual, I guess. I guess the same concept in sexuality decisions.
What do you think, Sean?
Well, I just believe that abstinence is truly the better choice for everyone. No matter your sexual preference, no matter who you are, abstinence is the better choice. And I think she described my view as utopian. But I truly do believe that abstinence is all that you need. And we go in and we show them why. We give them true accounts. We give them true accounts of people who have not set their boundaries and what has happened to them. Like, I met a guy who at the age of 19, he got a girl pregnant. And it was like any case at Mission High School. And he had to pay for that child until 18 years of age. And he had to drop out of college because of that choice.
Can I ask you a question, though, about how you deliver the message? Because if you make the case, and I can tell from just listening to your voice that you're a persuasive character. If you have an hour with a group of high school students and you spend 57 minutes saying, this is why abstinence is the best choice. And at the end you go, but if you're not going to be abstinent, dude, this is a condom. At least use this and walk out of the room. I mean, why not do that? Why not at least make that part of the option?
Oh, well, we don't do that because we believe that sets a double standard. You know, don't have sex, but if you are going to have sex, do this, you know? Abstinence is the only 100% effective way, or 100% safe way for having sex. You know, we hear these ideas of safe sex. It's kind of a buzzword. But safe sex truly is not having sex outside of a marriage relationship.
Laura, Amanda, back to you.
Well, I think abstinence is the best way. I mean, obviously it is 100%, but hey, what about, like, all those other options and those who think different?
And I'm sorry, but what about the students that already decided they're going to have sex? You know, they'll feel that they're doing something wrong in themselves because they hear everybody talking about abstinence is the only way to do it, abstinence, What about the ones that have already decided? You know, I want to have sex. I feel that it is my time, but I'm not married. So am I doing something wrong? How can I get information?
Connection.
Oh, well, oh, sorry. Were you going to say something?
Sean, just a quick one from you, and then I'm going to go to the callers.
Okay. Well, we have talked to many people who have already decided to have sex, and we show them how maybe that's not the best idea for them right now. And people are eaten up. People love that idea. And we show them why it's safer for them just to wait on it.
1-800-423-8255. Connection listeners, you're hearing different perspectives here. Where do you come in? We're going next to Nashville, Tennessee, and Jennifer's with us. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Well, before I get my point, don't do anything that turns you on. I mean, I have four teenage sons, and I've worked with teenagers for 20 years. Doesn't everything kind of turn teenagers on? You know? Does that make sense a little bit? I don't know. Maybe that's me. But I have a 16-and-a-half-year-old son, and he's in a very serious relationship. They've not had sex. And her family is teaching purely abstinence. And I think it's a good idea, too. But I'm also realistic in that I want him to know everything. I mean, I've raised my children from day one talking about sex. All you know, they always call it everything by the proper name. When they see those commercials on TV, talk to your kids about drugs or sex, my kids run out of the room. They're so tired of hearing about drugs and sex. But his girlfriend is turning to me because she feels her parents are being so concrete in that abstinence is the only answer.
Let me clarify something here, Jennifer. You're saying that the girl's parents are counseling abstinence. Where's the girl on this?
The girl is feeling that she can't talk to her parents and that she doesn't, you know, she's talking to me more. And I'm not preaching sex by any means, but I'm very concerned that the pure abstinence, what she's getting from her family, isn't enough. And I think that we've got to be more realistic.
See, the interesting thing for me, Jennifer, is if I'm thinking about where kids are getting information, they get advice and instruction and direction from their parents, and they get it many from their church, and they get it many from their peers, and many from their school. But what matters the most? Where are those students going to take their direction from? All of that, or do they choose one or two? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think that they choose more from the parents, but I also think that just say no to drugs didn't work. Just say abstinence doesn't work, and I don't think that it's that clear cut. And I don't think you can draw an imaginary line for whatever turns you on or whatever. I think that, and I work with teenagers, and I have for 20 years, I think that I see more of the kids that are raised teaching just do abstinence are doing other very, very risky sexual actions. You know, a lot of anal sex and a lot of other things that they don't consider, they're still technically a virgin. And that concerns me a lot.
Still stuck with this. On one hand, and then on the other hand, you favor or would counsel abstinence, but you're kind of throwing up your hands and saying, that may not work, so what's the second? What's on, you know, behind door number two?
Yeah, I'm throwing up my hands and saying, I love both, you know, you guys are in a serious relationship, you're not just doing this, and if you do decide, please come to me so I can help you. Birth control pills isn't just the answer, condoms are not just the answer, but I don't want them sneaking around in the back of cars and doing risky behavior also. I want them to have all the facts, and all the facts includes a whole bunch more than that. And I worry that there's parents who, because my son's girlfriend really doesn't talk to her parents about it because they are so, well, honey, abstinence is the way. And she's been told that from day one. And but when you are in love and you are a teenager, and I do believe that teenagers can be in love, I don't poo-poo it as puppy love or anything else. I want them to look at it seriously from all angles.
Jennifer, I'm going to stop you there, and thank you for the call, and let our listeners know that when we come back after the short break, we're going to be talking with Amanda and Laura and Sean just about where the kids do get the information and the instruction and the direction that really counts. I mean, when we get all, you know, worked up about is it abstinence or is it not at the school program, does the school really matter? Is that where the kids are going for their information, or are they really desperately looking for informed information from their parents and from their peers? We'd like to hear from you. We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection this hour, a conversation about abstinence and how well it works when it is school policy. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Sean Keogh is with us from an NPR studio in Kent, Ohio. He's recently graduated, and while he was at high school, was an advocate for abstinence. In fact, was with a group of teens that toured public and private schools around the state, counseling other teens on abstinence. Laura Coria and Amanda Ramirez are both with us from Mission, Texas. They took part in the scripting of an award-winning film called Toothpaste, which took abstinence another step further and introduced questions of other birth controls, in this case, a condom in the film. And our telephone number, just a reminder, if you'd like to be in on the conversations, 1-800-423-8255. Laura and Amanda, I'm going to turn to you first, if I can, on this question of where teens really get the information that they use. You had, as you mentioned at the very beginning of the program, you had friends who became pregnant while they were at high school. I mean, if there'd been an abstinence-only program at school, would that have made the difference? Is it parents? Is it what is it?
I feel that teenagers now are getting their information from friends, and I honestly don't think that that's information that they can rely on. I think that teachers and parents need to develop and reinforce a clear message to students about healthy and safe decision-making, whether it's abstinence or anything else about sex. Like, they need to know everything.
Is it confusing, Laura, if the school's teaching abstinence and the parents are talking about birth control and the friends are talking about something else, or does that all sort of contribute to a higher level of knowledge? What do you think?
I just think that it's important for young people to have sources of different kinds, because I'm pretty sure parents are the ones that are going to be, you know, talking about abstinence. In my case, I know my parents, that's what they want, you know, white dress, you know, abstinent. But, and even if they were to talk to me about the different protections, I mean, a lot of times parents don't have that kind of information, where I think that, you know, hearing from the parent abstinent, okay, and then going to school, you know, teaching us, like, where you could go if you decide to, I think that would be ideal.
You said the parents don't have that information. I mean, I would imagine that most parents do have the information. They just may not want to talk to the kids about it, right?
Yeah, I would guess so, yeah. That makes more sense.
Sean, what do you think? Where are teens going for their information? It's not just high school, is it?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to agree with the other girls on this one. Like, it used to be how kids used to talk to their parents. I don't want to sound like an old man, in my day, but...
That's my job, son.
and I'll let you do it, but... more and more we see that kids are turning to their peers, kids are turning to other kids for their information on sex, and it's sort of a shame. And I want to emphasize that it's really important that the parents take the lead on this, and the parents take the lead on this in developing relationships with their kids, meaningful relationships with their kids, and telling them, giving them the right information on abstinence and sex in general.
And if you're talking about abstinence in a school in Ohio and a kid puts up his hand and says, well, look, my parents are okay if I'm on the pill, or my parents would want me to know about condoms, what do you say? Take that off the table for the time being? How do you come back on that?
Oh, no. Well, what we do is we do give them honest information about condoms, and this must include the failure rates. And it basically comes down to this, but if we can continue to tell people to continue having sex, and they continue to be at risk for STDs,
right,
pregnancies, and here's the big one, the emotional trauma. And we basically tell them that. We basically put it all on the table. And what they do with it, what they choose to do with it, is their choice. It's a personal choice, like Travis said a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Lexington, South Carolina. Jason's joining us on the line from there. Jason, tell me what you're thinking.
Well, first of all, I understand where he's coming from whenever he's saying abstinence is the best. Abstinence is the best. It is, and I agree with that. But I also realize that, you know, most people don't have the faith-based standard that he has to build on. And, you know, and the thing is, teaching nothing but abstinence is kind of a naive point of view, in my opinion. It's kind of like giving a kid a loaded gun and saying, don't pull the trigger. You know, give them all the information. Give them, you know, everything they need to know so they can be safe in case something happens. It seems like it makes more sense to me to have all the information before going and doing something. And you know, it's just more of a realistic point of view to say, you know, here's all the information. This is the way to be safe if you have sex. But if you know if not, don't.
All right, Jason, stay in the line. Sean, you're up. Go ahead.
You know, once again, I think that by telling kids that, yeah, it's all right to have sex if you use a condom or if you do that, it's kind of a double standard. It doesn't even address the emotional trauma that comes from sex. But if we tell people to continue having sex, they continue to be at risk for STDs and pregnancies and the emotional trauma. And I think it's a naive point of view for you to just say, just go and use condoms if you're going to have sex, you know, because it doesn't address any of the dangerous effects of sex.
But I don't think Jason is saying just condoms. Jason's saying do abstinence, do condoms, do pill, do, you know, whatever it takes. Is that fair, Jason?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's not just here's condoms, go have sex. I'm saying, you know, give them the information about them. Like you said, give them the failure rates, give them all this, but let them know that there are alternatives. And it's not, I don't see it as a double standard. I see it as preparing people. I see it as preparing young people to go out into the world and be prepared for everything instead of just giving them half the story. It is kind of like, I mean, you know that.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Laura, Amanda, are you agreeing with what Jason's saying here?
Yeah, I agree.
I think the program that Sean, is it?
Yeah, Sean is with us from Ohio.
Okay, that he is talking about, I think it's pretty much like the, because we did some research and all this before we went talking. It's a lot like the abstinence-based education that some states preach, I guess, because, I mean, it talks about abstinence being as the number one effective way, and it gives the failure rates, which I think it's, that's like not very good information, because, I mean, all these contraceptives have shown to be worthy. I mean, they are working compared to like other states where they teach comprehensive sex education. This is where they teach as abstinence being the best way, but also showing the students that there is other options which can be effective if used properly.
You're saying don't just talk about the failure rate of a condom, talk about the success rate of the condom at the same time. Is that about right, Laura?
Excuse me?
You're saying talk about the success rate of the condom, not just the failure rate of the condom.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, you could talk about the failure, but it's very effective. I mean, if they are going to have sex, I think it's important for them to, you know, I mean, it does work. It's not like it doesn't work at all. So,
Sean, Jason said something about the faith part of your support for the abstinence only, mm-hmm. and you had said at the very beginning that it is a key part of your the sort of base from which you promote the idea and talk to other kids about it. If the faith's not there, though, what changes?
Oh, well, let me clarify something. The faith is a key part of why I go out and why I go and tell people about this, because I think it's an important message. But faith does not come up in our conversation directly. Now, I also want to clarify something else. Other programs in our area provide condom information, and this may be the key difference between Ohio and the schools by Mission, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
How you guys aren't getting the condom information, but the schools that I go into, the schools that we go into, are already getting that information. And we go in and we basically give them a new spin on it.
Definitely.
Do you agree with that, Sean, that they should have both?
Well, I am only speaking from my point of view, that I know that one thing works, and that's abstinence.
I'm coming back to this because I thought you said a little earlier in the program that if you're talking to them about condoms and you're talking to them about abstinence, you're giving them kind of a weird double choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you must not advocate condoms. You can give them the failure rates for condoms. You can tell them, and also with birth control. Birth control does not do anything to prevent STDs or anything of that nature. And it's important to give the kids that information as well. To put that information on the table.
Let's go to Greensboro, North Carolina for a call if we can. Joe's joining us on the line from there. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
I just finished up my third year as a resident advisor in the dorms at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And a lot of the kids that I had to talk to about things like this, which was my job, you know, I found that a lot of them that were in the worst trouble, that had the worst information, that were getting pregnant, that had problems with disease, felt like there was nobody in their life they could go to who wasn't going to only advocate abstinence, who had any correct information about condoms, about birth control, about things like that. And, I mean, I'm not anti-abstinence by any means, but, you know, I find that, you know, sort of like your guest has said, a number of things that sort of struck me the wrong way over the course of this conversation. He said, you must not advocate condoms. Well, you must not advocate condoms to people who have already decided that they're going to have sex. The only option is to convince them, you know, or he says that you can tell them about the failure rate of condoms, but you can't advocate them. You can, you know, put a different, as he said, spin on condom, the condom information that they have. But, I mean, I just don't see how you're doing anybody any service to spin information in a way that's going to make them come to a decision that they may fundamentally disagree with.
Can I ask you a question, though, Joe? Of the students that you are talking to at UNC, the students that come with abstinence-only education, there must be some who choose to continue that path at university, who remain abstinent at university, right?
Oh, there absolutely are. Yeah, I'm from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and there are. And, you know, there are plenty of well-adjusted, you know, good kids who are abstinent, but there are also plenty of well-adjusted, good, healthy kids who have information about safer sex and are using it. You know, and I just find that, you know, I haven't, I mean, that doesn't not say that it didn't happen, but I've never had a kid come to me and say, here's the thing, my girlfriend and I are in a monogamous relationship, or my boyfriend and I are in a monogamous relationship, we've been using condoms, we've been using birth control, now the following thing has happened. I'm pregnant, I have a disease. You know, I just haven't seen that happen yet, whereas I see lots of kids who come to me and say, I'm in a lot of trouble, here's the thing, I went to, you know, my preacher, I went to my mom and dad, I went to my youth group, you know, my faith group, and they all said to me, I can't advocate condoms, I gotta, you know, I'll give you the failure rates. I'll scare you out of using them. I'll tell you that, you know, your only choice is abstinence. And then when that kid is faced with a moment where he or she decides, you know, well, okay, abstinence is not for me. They don't have the information, or you know, they don't have the sort of information that they need to make an intelligent decision about what are they going to do now that they've made the decision.
Amanda and Laura, does this bear out the kind of thing that you guys hear from your own friends, people your age?
Yes. And I also feel, I'm sorry, but in reference to what Sean said about condom use, telling them the failure rates, I feel that teenagers will basically be like, well, you know, they're just telling us about the failure rates, they don't work. If they have already decided to have sex, then they're going to be like, why use them? They don't work. And the truth is that they do work if you use them properly. And I think they need to know that knowledge. They need to have that information.
Sean?
Well, I agree with that. Condoms make sex less dangerous, but I think everyone has to agree that they are not 100% safe. And in answer to Joe, we can't speak for the way that other people provide abstinence information. But we go at it with a good foundation, we give them honest facts and figures, and we have good people. We have people who believe in the message who go and speak it.
And what's your experience with friends of yours, older and younger, who have been in the program for a while? Are you finding that there are kids who, you know, go through university and they stay with the abstinence program?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Most of my friends, in fact, all of my friends who are in the program, continue to be safe.
1-800-423-8255. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky for a call. Kevin's with us. Hi, Kevin.
Yes, my question for several of the young callers in particular is, do they honestly feel that young people today are not aware of condom use or different safe sex practices? I find that the area in which I live, Louisville, which is a fairly liberal area, is bombarded with sex education information, but they do not receive a heavy emphasis on abstinence education. So I'd like to hear the caller's point.
You're saying that it's hard for you to believe that there are 15, 16-year-olds in America today who don't know what a condom is and how to use one.
Correct. I know that they're very adverse in sex education, but they do not receive a balanced emphasis on abstinence education, which, as the caller's been pointing out, is the safest for a young person. It's the safest for a teenager.
Laura, what would you say to Kevin here?
Well, I would say I think it's obvious that if you just don't have sex abstinent, you're just not going to have any consequences. So, I mean, I guess it's very important to talk to them about the contraceptives and them hearing about abstinence from their parents, or, I mean, or it's pretty obvious that, I mean, if you're just not going to have any sexual intercourse at all, I mean, there's no consequence or any worries that you should be going through.
But
so is it true? Is it true that teenagers today are not aware of what condoms are or how to use them, and they need more education on those issues?
I feel that they are, like, in Mission, absolutely not aware of any information. I mean, before we had the high school screening, like, we showed our film, we're going to talk about it. We asked the students to write us questions, and we would pick the frequently asked questions, I guess you can say, the five top ones. There was questions like, can I get pregnant my first time? And this is not just, you know, 14, 15-year-olds talking. I mean, it was seniors. They're 18, 19, 17, and they still don't have that information. There was questions like, can I get pregnant my first time? They wanted to know how effective condoms were. Does pre-cum work the same way? The students here in Mission are not getting the information that they need, being that they're 18, 17, whatever the age. The information that they need is not being given, and that's why they were asking those questions.
Were you surprised, Amanda, to get those questions from students your age?
I was very surprised, as a matter of fact. Like, I knew that information, you know, through research, through everything, through talking to my parents, but when they were asking those questions, it struck me as, you know, like, what kind of education are we giving them? What kind of knowledge are they getting? I mean, mm-hmm. They're asking questions, you know, can I get pregnant my first time? It was surprising.
Quick last question, Laura, if I can, for you. You're at Southwestern University in Georgetown now. Are you finding that the students that you are at school with now are a lot more informed?
Yes, definitely. Actually, in my university, there is abstinent people. I mean, I know a couple of girls that are, you know, abstinent until marriage. But, I mean, they do put condoms in the hall, you know. It's a very liberal school, so it's very different to Mission.
I want to thank you, Laura, for being with us on the program today.
Thank you.
And Amanda Ramirez, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Laura Coria and Amanda Ramirez were both part of the scriptwriting team that put together the award-winning film Toothpaste. And Sean Keogh, thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gordon.
Sean Keogh joining us there from the NPR studios in Kent, Ohio. While he was at high school, he was part of the Abstinence Only program and traveled around the state talking about that. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.